for your right to party!
You're listening to the Arrowhead Live Podcast Network.
Thank you, Kansas City. We did it, baby!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Season 3, Episode 1 of The Afterman. Man, aftermath. Wow, I can't even speak because time is flying. I am Christopher Tenpenny, joined by my co-host, CJ Jones. CJ, what's up, my man?
My guy, we haven't done this in forever. It's like riding a bike. You never forget.
Hey, man, it's been a crazy summer, you know, moving and getting new positions and jobs, I hear. So, you know, hard to find time during the offseason.
We're just moving up, man. We're better and greater. You feel me?
Right. But now the actual season is around the corner. Of course, we're here to talk about Kansas City Chiefs football, man. And if you want to, let's just jump into it. I mean, 2 weeks we've already seen kind of – what's your initial takeaway through 2 weeks of the preseason? Or can you take anything away from 2 weeks of the preseason?
Exactly. You kind of have to take the preseason with a grain of salt because it is preseason. But I went to camp a couple of times. I went to the preseason game on Saturday versus DC. From what I've seen, just the overall view, this team has kind of met the goals that I think Veach kind of preached all offseason to get younger, faster, more physical. And you can definitely see those things a lot for the first 2 weeks.
Nice, nice. I haven't been able to make it up to camp, you know, being in a little about five and a half hours away.
Hey, but as long as one of us are there. So.
Right. So I definitely trust your intel. I guess I want to jump straight into the guy that's been the talk of the town, guy everyone's been talking about, and that's Isaiah Pacheco. What have been your initial thoughts on seeing him, and is the hype real, or is it just – we need something to talk about?
If you want to talk about hype, I saw people at the stadium with Tyreek Hill jerseys with Pacheco taped and written in Sharpie over the name. That's how much the hype is real about Pacheco, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
They're not playing about Isaiah, Rutgers' finest. He's been balling during camp, man. He runs hard. As out of the group right now, he's definitely the more physical back and the most explosive. I don't think that's even like a debate now. I love the overall group in the room itself because everybody kind of bounces off each other. But from what I've seen during training camp and during the preseason, I think Pacheco is going to get a shot to be that starting kick returner. He's going to get into rotation with the running backs as well. Clyde's probably going to be the lead dog, and then Jerick and Pacheco are probably fighting for those two and three snaps. But no, the hype is real, but he's explosive. He runs hard. He can get in. He kind of misses his reads every now and then, like normal rookies, rookie mistakes he does. But overall, I definitely see the juice that people are talking about. It's real for sure.
I hate to be negative, not even 3 minutes into this episode, but like my thing, having just really seen him in game, obviously you see the highlight films on Twitter and whatnot of what they're doing in camp. But is the hype more has to do with as good as Isaiah is, or is it more just that running back room is one of the worst running back rooms in the NFL, in my opinion? I mean, you got guys that can do things, but Clyde is your number one right now. Most people would say that's in a bottom half, even if he is more towards the middle tier running back. You know, Jerick McKinnon, while he does flashes in the passing game and had a really good postseason, he can never stay healthy. Ronald Jones isn't even getting carries in the preseason game. I just have my reservations on, is Isaiah really this guy? Is he really going to be that guy, or is he just kind of the flashy new toy in a running back room that is less than impressive?
No, I completely agree. And that's fair. I think, and that's kind of like what I said earlier to my point, taking it with a grain of salt. Like, it's only the preseason. So, you know, camp, you can only get so many reps. And obviously, they don't really play full go in camp. You know, they kind of let guys wrap up but don't really take them to the ground. So, really, preseason is all you can go off of. So, and he hasn't really gotten too many reps because they want to obviously preserve him because they plan on using him a lot during the regular season. But from what we saw in Chicago, catches the ball pretty well. He obviously broke a couple good tackles in Chicago. Had a couple decent runs in the DC game versus Commanders. Nothing crazy that made you pop off the screen. But I think, like you just said, the room is overall, comparing it to the rest of the league, is not the best. It's, like you said, in the bottom half of the league. But I think that's the expectation of how good Isaiah can be because how explosive he is. Coming from a guy who was a seven-round pick, so wasn't expected to be this impactful in that room, who we signed Ronald Jones in the offseason, brought back Jerick McKinnon, and Clyde's going into his fourth year.
Or third year for Clyde.
So, yeah, I think the thing with Isaiah is people just have such high expectations after you actually see him in person. Because you should watch the film, you break it down all pre-draft and obviously post-draft and everything, and you get him in the hands to go to mini camp and things like that. But seeing him in pads, you see the explosiveness. Now we just want to see it. All right, can you do a real time in a real live action game? So kind of like the same kind of trends we saw for Kareem Hunt, but that room was obviously a little different back then. But once we see him in a game and he actually does the things that we all hope he can do, I think the hype will match the expectations. So,
gotcha. Hey, that's great to hear because I definitely need it. Also, I hope it just, you know, kind of pushes Clyde to that next level because he's a guy the Chiefs really need.
Absolutely.
You know, he's a guy that's got the whole fan base kind of watching to see how he's going to react because he had a really good first game his rookie year against Houston. And then other than that, you probably count on two fingers how many good games he's had since. He's had some injuries issues, you know. And so I don't need Isaiah to, you know, be the guy. I don't need him to be Kareem Hunt like what Kareem Hunt was his rookie year. I just need him to be a guy that, hey, Clyde, if you don't start at least showing that you can be a number one in a committee backfield, there's a guy that the Chiefs really like that can take that spot from you. So
absolutely. Cream to the crop, man. Cream to
the crop. Now, does Ronald Jones make this roster?
Unfortunately, from what I've seen, it's gonna
you
be
think
no.
he does. You no, think said, he
it's,
does?
It's a no for me, boss. It's a no for me.
Oh, okay. I was like, gotcha. I thought you were saying
people,
that.
Gotta keep people on their toes.
Gotcha. I jumped. I didn't let you finish.
I didn't. What I've seen, I went up to camp like two or three times. I saw Rojo not once with the ones. And when they did team for the couple of times I went, I seen them get a reps with the twos and the threes. But with the 1-0 line, it was either Clyde, Jarek, or Isaiah. I didn't see too much Rojo with the ones. So, and on Saturday, when the ones were in the starting lineup for the first half, I didn't see Rojo get a snap. So I think it's pretty safe to say Rojo doesn't make this team, which, I mean, we all kind of knew it wasn't a guaranteed thing when you brought him in the offseason. Because you have that room, like you said, nobody has a guaranteed spot. So bringing in a guy like Rojo, there was no guarantee he makes this roster because we're bringing back Jerry McKinnon. You draft Isaiah Pacheco. Clyde's in his third year. It's just everybody's fighting for the job to see who's the top dog in that room. So, yeah, I don't think Rojo makes this team. So that's just me.
Right. And my thing, too, is we've seen so many random running backs, you know, have success in this, whether it was Spencer Ware or Damian or Darrell Williams. And so it's like, I've seen the argument that Clyde and McKinnon have injury history and, you know, Pacheco's a rookie, so why not keep Ronald Jones for just that extra? And, but, like, I'd still rather see Derek Gore out there. He's cheaper. He's younger. You know, we saw some flashes. It's like, if we're going to keep a fourth running back around.
Keep Derek Gore.
Derek Gore and just let
Ronald. I don't know why everyone's so hard on Derek Gore. They've been trying to show him this preseason. I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had a bad – the first preseason game, he didn't look very sharp. But, I mean – Again, it's hard to blame him because he was a guy that had flashes and all of a sudden, in a blink of an eye, he's fifth on the depth chart and running back. When he looked like a guy that could be, you know, three, maybe even fighting for two, depending on who they brought in. Yeah, so I'm not trying to sit here and say Derek Gore is a world beater or anything, but just given the choice between how the running back shaped up, I would much rather have Derek Gore.
No, absolutely. And that goes to my point. Me and you were talking about this offline. There was a name that kind of popped up on the waivers today that's a guy that's probably going to get cut here soon. Kenyon Drake, Las Vegas Raiders running back from Alabama. So that's a name to keep an eye out for. He's a guy that I know some people are kind of half and half on him, but he's been productive in his league. And like you say, our running back room isn't the greatest. So bringing in a guy like that who's versatile, who can catch and run, I think Andy and Veach would probably be a name to think about. I'm not saying it's a guarantee. I'm just saying just to keep it in mind.
Right. I need an injury or two personally before I really consider a Kenyon
Drake.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely a guy. Yeah, definitely a guy, a name to monitor as we get closer to week one. I want to stay on the offensive side of the ball just because there's so many, you know, the big story coming into the season is how are the Chiefs going to be without Tyreek Hill? You know, is Tyreek Hill the reason that Patrick Mahomes took his game to the next level, which is just a bunch of boo hockey or however you
malarkey,
say that word. Yeah, malarkey. There we go. to me. And so, and Patrick's put it on display. I mean, again, it's only three drives. It's against, you know, a half first team and two not, you know, middle of the pack to below average football teams. But what do you think of Patrick? I mean, what can we say? I don't
know. One more can you say about 15?
Right.
So, I mean, he's doing the thing he's supposed to do. According to this, who that anonymous GM that said he doesn't move off his first read? I saw six guys catch the ball that first drive in Chicago. I don't know about you, Chris, but in that DC game, when I watched, I saw him look 1-2-3 and then find Jerry McKinnon in the flat. I saw him go 1-2-3 and find Jody Fortson for a touchdown two times, actually. That looks like he gets past his first read to me. I don't know what you think, but that looks like a guy that can read defenses. I don't know what this anonymous GM is saying, but
right.
Patrick is right. Man. I never had any doubts that this offense was going to like take a step back. It's going to look different, but that don't mean different is bad. So, yeah, I never had any worries about Andy and 15, man. I know what they're going to do. I know what they're capable of.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where, like, quarterbacks are weird. We always think of football players as getting worse as they get older, but quarterbacks are, like, you know, once you get into that 27, 28, you know, that 27 to 33 range is, like, your prime. And like, Patrick's hitting there with already – somehow this dude's got a chip on his shoulder still because the NFL keeps giving him reasons to have a chip on his shoulder.
And I love to keep doing it.
You're exactly. And it's like, I, you know, betting's coming to Kansas here at the September first of the first, month.
Baby.
I don't know what that MVP number is, you know, odds are, but
I'd put I may have to lock that in, man.
Because it looks like a man on a mission already, taking these preseason games about as perfect as you can be, even missing Juju and McColl in that game too. And we like talking about these new receivers, and you know, a lot of the hype was on obviously putting on bringing in Marquez and Juju, but also the drafting of Sky Moore. A guy I've really liked though, and I think a lot of Chiefs Kingdom will echo this, is Watson, the receiver that they got from the Bucks that they brought in. And so, like, and he's had some good plays in the preseason. Do we think, because he is a veteran, he's played with at least with Tom Brady a little bit now with Patrick, I think we see him a lot more than Sky, just from what I've seen through the preseason. I think that's an early thing to watch, is the usage of Watson over Moore early on in the season.
No, absolutely. I know Pat endorsed him in the offseason when they were doing before the draft. They were signing guys in the free agency. They said, hey, this guy can fly. He can run. So, and you saw that in the DC game when he caught the deep over around the middle of the field to Justin Watson. So he's a guy that's taller than people think. He's fast. He can run. And that speed is for real. So I think he's pretty much locked in as wide receiver five right now, with the four being Juju, Sky, MVS, and Mecole. I think Justin Watson has certified himself as the fifth spot. So we'll see who gets that sixth spot. I think it's probably – now between either, I would say Fountain has gained the edge, but I know people still want to give respect to guys like Josh Gordon, Cornell Powell, to see what they can do. But no, Watson has definitely solidified himself as a guy, like you said, he's going to get minutes. He's not there just to be a special teams guy, to be rotational. He's going to get minutes and get reps. So I love that, because like you said, when you have a long season, you have injuries, you're going to have guys that are going to step up. When you have multiple guys that can make plays, that makes your job as a D coordinator harder, because you don't know who the ball is going to be focused on. So when you have MVS, Mecole, Sky, Juju, and now Justin Watson, obviously you know Trav is going to set the tone with what he does. That just makes Pat's job easier. You just got to find the open guy, and you have confidence that every guy can go out there and make a play, and especially beat one-on-one coverage.
Right, yeah. I didn't know much about Watson, even when the news came. Sounds like, you know, just depth. I treated it like a Corey Coleman signing, you know, a guy that just had some time in the league, had some flashes, like, but really wasn't a threat to do anything, maybe get cut. That's how I took the Watson signing initially when it happened back in April, whenever it was. But now he's a guy that, like, I'm going to be a little bit excited, a little bit, like, he's a 26-year-old guy that's played 5 years in the league. Like, what can you really expect from
exactly?
That
no,
guy?
That's everything.
But at the same time, you need those, you know, it was Byron Pringle before him, you know, it was DeMarcus Robinson before that. You know, you need these kind of end of the depth chart wide receivers that you don't know much about. Exactly. We obviously know what happened with DeMarcus Robinson. He kind of, his hype went the wrong way, like he does when he catches the ball. But, you know, you need those kind of younger guys that are, you know, newer faces at the end of the depth chart that you still get excited about on the field.
Exactly.
I think
obviously, for sure.
Can be that.
Depth for key, man. Depth is key. It's going to be a long season. You need five, maybe six guys that are going to come in and play, because, like we said, unfortunately, we hate it, but it's football. Injuries happen. Tweak a hammy here, pull a quad there. You need to have guys that can come in and make a play. And the fact that Justin Watson is getting reps with the ones, and him and Patrick have a connection, I think that's a great thing to notice and to see for the rest of the year. So I'm with you, man. I didn't expect much, because he was buried in the Buccaneers depth chart because they had a lot of receivers. I expected him to be buried here as well. But if he keeps playing like this and him and Pat have a real connection, that speed is legit. I expect this guy to come in and make plays. So I'm with you, man. I'm excited.
Right, and only in the preseason do we spend this much time talking about the fifth string running back and Derek Gore, fifth wide receiver and Watson. And so should we just like put a bow on and do the four tight ends? Because I actually honestly couldn't tell you the order. I think they're all two. I think goes Kelce one, and then
Bell Forsett in. After the way Jody played, I think most people would say you're crazy if you don't put him tight end too. So.
Right, but Noah kept a play alive.
Noah has a good play as well, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And Blake Bell might be the most trusted of that group just because he's the veteran that's done it and, you know, has some experience under center, even though that was in college. Like, it's weird having four tight ends I feel good about, you know. And the one that I feel the worst about is the oldest one as far as out of those three, and Blake Bell. Like, that's a good problem to have.
Exactly. I love this tight end room, man. I feel they have. Yeah. I was telling one of my friends the other day, this low key could be one of the best tight end rooms in the league. When you have guys like Jody Fortson, Noah Gray as your three, and then one of my friends actually tweeted me back the other day. He was like, "I tried to tell people about Jody Fortson back in March, so tell them I was right." I'm like, "Bro, I'm glad you were listening to me because I was telling people how good Jody Fortson is." So obviously, unfortunately, he had the injury last year when he hurt his knee. So and now he's coming back off that. From what I've seen in camp, he's been wearing no knee brace. He looked good in the game versus the Commanders. Caught two touchdowns, both in the end zone and in the corner, using his big frame, Pat throwing it up. And you know me, Chris, I've been screaming for like the past 2 years to get a big receiver we could just throw a back shoulder fade to. And we did it twice in the middle of the preseason game. So you can only imagine, I was in the stadium screaming my head off for joy. Thank you. We can finally make easy decisions for Pat to where he doesn't have to extend plays all the time. So.
And then what I like too, which is a minor thing, and some people may go the other way, is coming off that injury, there is a little bit of concern. You know, he caught those touchdowns in the first quarter. I think the second was in maybe early second. I can't remember. But he also caught a pass with the third team in the fourth quarter. So he was playing the full game. He's getting reps. He's seen clearly the wind seems to be there. The injury doesn't seem to be an issue. So little things like that are things I like to see and be like, okay.
He's even playing on special team. Ran down on kickoff and blew somebody up.
He's
feeling good, man.
right. So those are things that make me be like, okay, so Jody's going to be a weapon again this year.
I love it.
It's exciting. All right, let's jump to the defensive side of the ball now.
Let's go, Spence.
I came into this year really worried about the defensive line based on what they saw last year, based on really what they did up to, you know, prior to the draft. Then they obviously take Karlaftis, then, you know, go down the line, they bring in Dunlap, and then a few days later they bring in Shelton. And then how they've looked in the preseason. Again, it's the preseason. I think now it's gone from a worrisome spot to borderline strength. I know that's crazy to see because it's two preseason games, but there's a lot of depth there. Frank is in the best shape of his life after cutting out red meat and liquor. I think Saunders looked really good against the Commanders or the football team or whatever we want to call them. Like, there's just a lot of bodies there that I think maybe there's a steep drop off from Chris Jones to the rest of the group, but that rest of the group is all pretty steady.
No, absolutely. Like you said, it was a big concern for that group. I was very concerned after the draft because I like George Karlaftis. I had tempered expectations. I wasn't as high on him as a lot of people. I didn't want to put all the expectations of our number one pass rusher coming from a rookie as far as like being an edge rusher. So I was hoping we could add some veteran depth. And then when we signed Carlos Dunlap, I was very happy with that signing. And then we signed Danny Shelton last week to help us on short yardage and run game situations. Frank obviously being locked in, had a heart-to-heart with Andy, said he's more locked in ever as far as mentally and physically, being in the best shape of his life, like you said. I love this group a lot more with Karlaftis Dunlap than I did before. So I think this group can be very versatile. A guy that's been bursting on the scene for me that I've paid close attention to in camp and preseason has been Tershawn Wharton. He's been playing very, very well in practice and what from my scene in the first two matchups. So I expect him to get a lot of rotational minutes like he did last year, if not more. So I expect his role to be expanded a lot. And overall, the group, I think, is pretty much – it's a deep group. Obviously, you can always have more. So, I think trade deadline, I wouldn't be surprised if we added another body just for – like we did last year with Melvin Ingram, like an end-of-the-season pass rusher just to help the room be better. But overall, I think the room is a lot better than it was 3 months ago. So, I'll agree with that for sure.
Do we think they keep 9 on the defensive line or 8? Or kind of what's the number we're setting at? Because right now, here's who I got. I got, obviously, Frank, Karlaftis, Dunlap, and Dana at the ends. And then I've got Chris Jones, Danny Shelton, Turk, Nadi, And then who's that fifth would be if they decide to go nine? Saunders is the guy that I have.
Yeah, it's between Saunders or him and like or
Stallworth. I think Kano's trying to go to the practice squad. Stallworth is getting cut. Like some of those other guys. I think really we have seven for sure's. And then Saunders and Shelton are kind of I think they have to sign Shelton, but again,
yeah, you don't bring in Shelton. Yeah, I think Shelton's a lock. Yeah, me too. I think that last spot is kind of between like either like Malik Herring, Cassandra. I think those are the two guys fighting for one of those last spots. I know Stallworth's been dealing with a lot of things this offseason.
Yeah, so, I don't think that.
Yeah, he's been injured. I think it's pretty. Kalen Saunders been playing well. So if we had to pick a guy, he's been here. He knows the system. Obviously, we know he's been in big moments for us. He didn't really play as well as we wanted him to. But the way he's been playing this preseason, I think he's definitely a guy that's trying to fight for a job and make a point. So I would be okay with eight right there. But if we wanted to go nine, I would be fine with that as well.
Yeah, if we want to go nine, Saunders would be that ninth one.
Yeah, if we want to go nine.
There's really no one else. There's no one else really in contention. You could say Stallworth, but the injury issues and lack of tape is like, yeah. Okay, cool. So we're on the same players on the D-line. I like those eight to nine. I mean, I think that's a good rotation. We'll see what we get out of Dunlap. We'll see if Frank is really, you know, back to healthy Frank. There's a lot of things we still have to see to actually feel good. But on paper, you know, through the preseason, through camp, it's a lot better than where we start, especially, hey, George finally got that. I love the celebration. Way better than the first time.
In preseason? George? Yeah. What? They told me he had no flexibility. He couldn't bend, Chris. I'm like, if he is, then why is he double teamed? What? Okay.
Right.
Let's go, George.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey, that
hype is real. I saw him at camp. He's legit 6'6". I was like, he's probably, I didn't want to see it for myself. He's legit tall. Like, I'm not lying. He's tall. He's legit 6'6".
I hope he's just got to have like, you know, six sacks in him ish, you know, give or take one
or
two.
Career average, I don't think he's ever had lower than eight and a half sacks during his career. So,
okay, yeah, but he's getting a little older, new system, hasn't played. I'm saying my personal expectations is about six. If we get 10, will we get nine? Hallelujah. But
if he gets 6'7", I'll be solid with 6'7".
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not gonna start yelling like with Reed last year, Jaron Reed, lack of production we got out of it. Man, Packers taking him and what they got Sammy now. They're like, we took Mark Wes and they took all of us. They take the whole Chiefs squad. You know how that works. But let's jump to the linebackers. We don't have to spend a lot of time here unless you want. I mean, Willie and Nick are those guys. I mean,
I'm not going to lie. Leo's name is getting screamed a lot in Arrowhead on Saturday. So expect to see a lot of 54 out there, people.
Hey, he's a menace in the run game for sure, and he likes to hit, and sometimes that's all you need. A 21-year-old rookie. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to be a non-liability. What is the word I'm looking for? In pass coverage, he's a liability in pass coverage. I don't know if he'll ever be able to truly get past that.
Yeah,
but you have a guy that can bring the wood and be a good special teams player and be a good depth linebacker, especially as a rookie in these first few years.
Absolutely.
You got guys like Willie Gay and Nick Bolton who are just athletic and coming into their own. I mean, that's really all you need behind them.
Yeah, I expect Willie Gay to be a big year. Exactly. I expect Leo to be used a lot. Kind of how we talked about before the draft, like on the edges when they want to go blitz packages. I saw Spags put him in a lot of situations where we would go 5-2 up on front, and then he would be the fifth man on the edge, and then you kind of use him in blitz situations. Maybe cover like a back or a tight end on a line scrimmage, not like somebody that's like a real route runner. Like if he can like get his hands on somebody and chip and then rush. So I expect him to be a guy like you say. His job is to run around and make tackles, man. That's what he did well at Wisconsin. That's what he's known for. So I expect Spaz to use him with his strengths and not try to make him do something he's not good at by being in coverage a whole lot. So I expect to see him in the backfield a lot because that's a kid like he knows how to shed tackles and get in the backfield. Obviously, it's only preseason, but from what I've seen as far as like tendencies and reading alignments, I think he's going to be very good at stopping the run. So in those situations, I expect him, Danny Shelton, those kind of guys to get a lot of reps where we have weeks where, you know, we play a lot of good running teams this year. I know everyone talks about the receivers and the quarterbacks we play this year, but we still play Derrick Henry. We play Javonte Williams and Denver twice who can run the football. We play Jonathan Taylor. So we play a lot of teams that love to run the football. So you have to have guys that can stop the run. They got to have good instincts and read eyes and they can read their keys. So I expect Leo to have a bigger impact on teams when we run the ball a lot more for sure.
Definitely, definitely. And he got a lot of run in that second pregame.
They gave him a lot of reps. Don't give him too many reps now.
Never too many reps for these young guys, you know. Last group to get to, I know we skipped over the offensive line, but you know, we know what those guys can do.
Orlando's back. We're good people.
Right, right. Those starting five, you know, what, say what you will about Wiley. We could talk about Kennard, but oh, Wiley, I don't know if you and I are the guys to really break down that offense. Go follow Caleb James at Arrowhead. He's the guy that knows
life.
He's the one that knows everything about the offensive line. So we did. So don't skip. Don't yell at us for skipping over the O line. But let's end with the secondary. It's a lot of young guys, man. A lot of young team. It's the youngest group of this whole team, man. Justin Reed's like the oldest guy.
That's great. And Veach said he wanted to get younger this offseason. We've hit that threshold. So outside of him and Juan and Snead, yeah, it's a lot of young guys. So you're right about that.
I mean, I look at Thornhill and Snead as young guys too. I mean, Thornhill's 26.
They're veterans now.
Right. Yeah. And actually looking at it, Thornhill's actually older than Justin Reed. So he might be the oldest.
He's the elder statesman. So yeah. Justin played longer, but Juan's older. So
right. I forgot he was an older guy when we drafted. And then he lost, you know, a year with the injury.
Yeah, he's not separate year, yeah.
But like, are you concerned at all about the youth of this secondary?
I think to start the year, it may be a little rough at times because, like you said, it's a lot of youth back there. And thankfully, we opened the season up with teams that don't have the greatest receiving cores. Like, obviously, we play Arizona week one with no DeAndre Hopkins. Love that blessing for sure. And then we come back and we play, obviously, the Chargers and Keenan Allen. They give us some issues. But then we play the Bills, and then we play the Colts as far as, like, the beginning of our season. So it's some tests. But, I mean, like, when we get it, like, to the meat of our schedule, I'd rather get those growing pains out now than do it at the end of the season when we play the Bengals. And then we have to go play the Chargers again, play the Broncos with Russell Wilson. We play the Bucks this year. So it's a lot of good receiving corps we play. But if you want to get those groin pains out, you'd rather get it at the beginning of the season than do it at the end. So it's going to be a long year for sure. But I love this group for this reason alone, Chris. And I think you'll probably agree with me. It's a younger, faster, way more physical group than we did have last year. And I think you can see that day one just by looking at them in camp. I know the guys, we have more – people will say more savvy guys like Tyrann Mathieu, like even Daniel Sorensen, for all his struggles, was a veteran that have been in those games. I trust these guys more after their growing pains because I know they're going to make mistakes, but they're going to do it 100% flying around to the ball. So I just love the physicality, the way we can match up wise body type when we play teams like the Raiders and when we play the Chargers with these bigger body receivers like Mike Williams or Darren Waller. I love how Josh Williams match up. I love that match. I love Brian Cook's length. I love Snead in the slot with his long arms. I just love the group we have now because it's just more versatile than guys that can play in different spots. Last year, it was a lot of mismatches. No matter who we put out there, it wasn't a good matchup for our DB. So I love the versatility of this group a lot more, and I think Spags is going to love it as well.
Yeah, and, you know, they clearly have faith in him, getting rid of Baker early. Not that Baker was great, but he was a guy that
– Yeah, Dre was a
guy. If you don't have faith, you keep around see what these young guys have. Same with Lonnie Johnson. He's a guy you keep around if you're worried at all about how these younger guys are performing. They were two of the first people out of camp to get cut. So that makes me feel better, at least about how the coaching staff feels about this young group.
Exactly.
Man, it's a little bit worrisome as far as these first six games go because you go Kyler, Herbert, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, Derek Carr, Josh Allen are the first six games.
Best of the best.
Like Derek Carr, Kyler Murray, depending on who you ask, they're the worst quarterback, and they're arguably the top 10 quarterback in the league. Exactly. I mean, I guess people would say Matt Ryan maybe, but I don't care if Matt Ryan's lost a step. Older, experienced, former MVP quarterbacks scare me against young guys, regardless of where he's at.
They know where to put the ball.
They know where to put the ball.
That's a scary chunk of the season for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's going to be – it does ease up a little bit. You do get Trey Lance, a bye, Ryan Tannehill, Trevor Lawrence. So those next three games with the bye, you know, learn from those first six games, get some confidence. You have that week off. And then, obviously, at the end of the schedule, you play just about everybody under the sun again, including Stafford and Herbert and Russell Wilson.
And I love that stretch where we play Houston and then Seattle. That's another chance to get right and
right,
reset.
Right, a little end-of-the-year reset. Like, the schedule, honestly, breaks kind of – as long as the offense and the defensive line can get pressured enough to kind of, you know, go through those growing things, it's going to happen. They may have a game against in those first six where they hold one of those quarterbacks to under.
Exactly. You never know.
21
exactly.
points. I'm not banking on that though. Like I'm probably taking the over on all the Chiefs games early just because of the youth secondary. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we see that, you know, You know, Fenton's healthy. Snead takes another step into year three. McDuffie is the real deal. You know, Reed comes back as a leader with Thornhill and their gel. Like, there's a lot of potential for them to honestly just pick up and be a good defense. There's also a lot of potential for them to get torched. So I'm just prepping for, you know, a few busted coverages, a few big plays.
Exactly.
At least it's a young guy that's going to get better instead of a old guy getting worse than Daniel Sorensen. I'll take that trade off any day
of the week. Oh, any day of the week. We got rid of a lot of the guys that gave us headaches. No more Ben Neiman's this year. No more Daniel Sorensen's. We can thank God for that. And Beach. So It's a lot of good matchups, a lot of good groups that you play against. And I think there's going to be growing pain, but it's also learning opportunities as well. When you play a lot of those good coordinators and those good quarterbacks, you're going to learn a lot. And you've seen Justin Reed take that veteran leadership role that Tyrann Mathieu had in teaching these young guys how to play and how this league is going to be. It's a grind every day, and it's a good matchup every single week. Obviously, Juan is probably the best shape he's been in. He's a guy that has high expectations for himself. He said he's aiming for all pro. From what I've seen, I didn't expect Josh Williams to play a lot as much as he did. He's got a lot of reps during camp and in game, being Rashard Fenton's been dealing with his injury. So I like Josh Williams, what his potential could be for this team. A guy that's 6'1", 6'2", a long corner who can press coverage when he has to. He was in phase a lot, and he was playing good on the ball, just got to get his head around a couple times. And like you said, those are normal growing pains that you'll figure out towards the end of the middle of the year. But I love this group overall, man. This is the probably our release since we've had like our Marcus Peters era, since like those times. This is probably the best I've felt about this cornerback room in a while. I think these guys could potentially be one of the best groups in the league. When you look at Trent McDuffie, L'Jarius Sneed, Rashard Fenton, Josh Williams, there's a lot of potential in that group as well. So I really love this group a lot. It may not look like you said, the beginning of the year, but I think around that bye, week 9, week 10, I think it's really going to look really good for these guys.
Yeah, I'm hoping for it. Again, that's kind of what happened on the Super Bowl run, was the defense came into its own. And, you know, those are just things that it feels like Spags' defenses always start slow. So if they they're playing good teams. So if they're you know, 60-plus point games, you know, over under every week as far as both teams, you know what I'm saying? Like a 35-31 kind of game every 30, week. 30, yeah, I'm not going to freak out until Trey Lance comes and does it against the Chiefs.
Exactly.
Then I might start freaking out a little bit.
All right, guys, let's calm down.
Yeah. So, all right. So you got any other thoughts here before we wrap this thing up?
Just excited for Thursday. I'll probably go out there and see which guys are going to make the final spots. Probably one of the stars won't play a lot. So I'll see which guys are going to go out there and try to fight for their life and see if guys can make a last minute final push. I think we pretty much named all the major battles, guys that are fighting for spots. But Landman's got a pick 6 on Saturday. That was not a pick. Actually, he didn't score. He should have scored.
Almost.
That was good to see. Obviously, there's a lot of young guys. Yeah, special teams guy. Definitely looking in there. Brian Cook made some plays. Great to see Jody as well coming off the injury. Noah looked good. Yeah, I think a lot of the rooms are pretty much sold up. But outside of like the D-line room and the DB room, there's a guys pretty much fighting for those last couple of spots. And then as far as – I know we didn't talk about the O-line too much, but Wiley's definitely going to be our starter. I would love us to see, being guys are starting to get cut and being moved around this time of year before guys get down to their 53-man rosters in about a week or two, I would love us to see add another tackle depth personally. I don't feel too comfortable about what we have behind our left and or right tackle right now. Outside of Wiley, I don't know if Niang's coming back off the injury. I don't know what his status is. Kennard didn't get no reps with the ones at all, so I'm not too confident about him, even though we were really excited about him coming out of Kentucky. I would definitely love for us to see add more tackle depth. And there are some names out there that are available, and I'm sure me and you will probably get into that more next episode. But that would be the next position I would love to see us maybe tweak here and there right before the season starts.
Right. Depth is definitely a concern / thing the Chiefs can improve on in the offensive line. Right there with you, buddy. All right. I think that's going to do it for this week. We appreciate everyone who's listening. It's good to be back. It's good to be talking Chiefs football. Baby. And I know there's a lot of doubters. There's always doubters for every team every year. Seems like more so this year than previous. So I'm really excited to see what the Chiefs got, how they respond, and if they, you know, ultimately prove the doubters wrong here.
Absolutely.
CJ, last thing, tell the good people where they can find you, my friend.
You guys can find me on Twitter at CGZ81. That's CJEEZY81. My DMs are open. I'm always free to talk football. If you guys want to talk fantasy, if you want some bets you need to line up, need help with, I'm open for it all. Anytime you need some help, let me know.
All right, there you go. And then, again, my name is Christopher Tenpenny. You can find me at Tenpenny88, like the number in the coin, 88. All right, guys, appreciate it. Go Chiefs.
Chiefs.